As we move now toward the end of this second week, we're beginning to be taught something of the mystery, or if you will, the theology of the Passion. One came among us totally sinless, filled with love, to heal us, to instruct us, to calm our fears about who God is and tell us He's our Father. And we killed Him. And so, you see, it's a time to look at, as we begin this understanding of the theology, the dynamics, the reality of the Passion. So we have the story of Joseph, who is a type of Jesus. The other brothers were jealous. Why? Because his father loved him. He was flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone. And they sent him away. They were going to kill him, but they sold him to other people to do what they wanted with him. He was sold as a slave, as you know. And then, later on, we will read that then his brothers were frightened when he turned out to be the viceroy of all Egypt. And he said, "Be at peace. This all happened so that many would be saved." But you see, there's a dynamics here. We don't want anybody among us who's holy, pure, reminds us of God a little bit, sure, but nothing fanatic, like telling us we have to die to ourselves. We have to stop sinning. We have to stop putting our comfort and our power first and put God first. That's too much. A little bit of piety is fine, but this is fanatical. And we'll kill him. In the gospel, Jesus begins to warn them. You see, first is the question of a vineyard. Well, we have in Isaiah 5, we have in the Psalm, the vineyard is Israel. So there's nothing mysterious about this parable. God sends people to collect the produce of the vineyard. These are the prophets. And they're killed. They're stoned, they're thrown out of the city. And you say, well, aren't they awful? No, we're awful. We'd get sent to jail for doing that, so we wouldn't exactly do that. But we do reject the word of God in himself, and in his message. There's a mysterious dynamics here, you see. And so, finally the son comes, and they do kill him. See, these are tenant farmers. And the law was that if the owner of all these farms, these vast, and they were not compassionate landowners, these Galilean big shots. But if he dies with no heir, the tenants take over the farm. So they're right, let's kill him, and it'll be ours. So then Jesus says to them, well, what do you think the owner will do? See? And it says, he'll put those wretched men to a wretched death and give his vineyard to other tenants. He's already warning them that the privileges of Israel are going to move. As we say in the prayer after the third reading on Holy Saturday, now the church has entered into all the privileges of Israel. You see? And then this line from the Psalm to help them, Psalm 118, the stone which the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. So now there's a law of the Passion being uncovered for us. Huh? And even though It's our sins that caused him to suffer. We can reap the fruit of that suffering, death, and resurrection for our own eternal life and for our own blessing even in this life. Here's the choice. Now these chief priests and Pharisees and folk, at least they're consistent. Now they want to kill him. This is too much. He's after us now. And we are the religious leaders. So we kill him. You think that's an exaggeration? And I lived there 5 years, 20 centuries after Jesus. And it's still the most violent place in the world. Every day. I mean, Muslims and Jews killing one another every day. To this day. So, of course, they're going to kill him. His death, then, is brought about because he is the last and the most divine of the prophets. And he's calling the people back to God. And they don't want to go. So they kill him. And now the church says, take this, carry it with you all day, and ask yourself, are you ready for like a modicum of piety, respectability, or are you willing to go flat out for Jesus, no matter what it costs? Does Jesus disturb you? Lucky you. Are you comfy with your piety? You're in trouble. You see, Lent gets a little more radical as we go on. And this is one of the turning points.